J.P. Welch never gave much thought to sex offenders until a member of his family was convicted of a sex crime. He won't say what the man did, but inappropriate touching, texting a lewd photo, or exposing yourself can land you on Virginia's sex offender registry. Welch did some homework and discovered people convicted of these crimes are unlikely to do it again.
Many studies show that the rates of reoffending for sex offenders is one of the lowest of any category of crime. The myth has been perpetuated at the highest levels. A Supreme Court justice has called the recidivism rate frighteningly high. And that's just not true.
At Virginia Commonwealth University, criminal justice professor Christina Mancini says studies have tracked sex offenders 5 years out and found only a small percentage committing new sex-related crimes.
The longer you follow an offender for any crime, the higher the recidivism rate will be. But even on the high end, what data suggests is most offenders will not go on to reoffend. I've seen it as low as 5%.
That doesn't persuade State Delegate David Albo. He just wants to know who lives next door.
I have a kid in my house. I'd like to know if somebody on my block had been convicted of child molesting.
And Delegate Rob Bell shares the belief that aggressive post-conviction monitoring is needed to prevent future crimes.
Even at 5%, given the number of sex offenders that are out there, that is a large number of other Virginians, other children that are the victims of sex offenses from these offenders.
Whether you buy that argument or not, the question remains. Are registries the right tool for protecting the public? They're intended to warn communities about strangers, people the neighbors don't know. In fact, those people are rarely responsible for sex crimes, according to Brenda Jones, executive director of the National Association for Rational Sexual Offense Laws.
Over 90% of new offenses are somebody who's never been convicted. So knowing where the convicted person is doesn't help. And 90% or more are people that are known.
Relatives or friends of the family, babysitters, clergymen, and others who are acquainted with and trusted by their victims. Professor Mancini adds that registries are not effective for another reason.
While the public's very supportive of them, the public tends not to visit them regularly. It's only about 1 in 3, according to national statistics, will go on to a registry at all. And we have very little data on the frequency of use, and that's important too. These are continually updated.
Nor do most people take action after checking the registry.
They don't talk to their kids about stranger danger or neighbors who may be an offender.
So if current policies don't make us safer, what do they accomplish? Michael Miner is director of research and professor of human sexuality at the University of Minnesota. He says registries do little more than stigmatize people, nearly 23,000 of them here in Virginia. After they've served time in prison and gone through treatment programs, Miner says they battle a range of problems.
Social isolation, difficulty finding jobs, difficulty getting into schools, families having to move. There are lots of negative impacts.
But the greatest restriction involves a group of offenders confined for years, even a lifetime, after serving their sentence in prison. In our next report, we'll take you to a multi-million-dollar facility in rural Nottoway County, where people convicted of sex crimes are held indefinitely. I'm Sandy Houseman.